This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, and we talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. What are you laughing about in there, Chris Klaproth?
To watch you scramble to get that mic.
Well, normally the mic is over here somewhere, and I was reading some stuff, including a text from Sparky, and I realized that the music was almost at an end, so I had to grab the mic, and it was behind the little clock here that isn't actually doing anything. So it was an interesting little scramble there for a second, but here we are right on time.
Exactly.
And perfect.
Yeah, of course.
You know, so. Hi, everybody. This is Alan Ellis. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors and everything related to that stuff. And been an interesting week. Tuesday, we did some pre-recording of some shows for September. We had Brian Eiler in here, the Deer Project leader for Maryland DNR Wildlife and Heritage Service. We had Harry Spiker in here as well for talking about bears in Maryland, black mm-hmm. bears. And we did that show. So, you know, September is going to be a little heavy and pre-recorded stuff, just so our listeners know now.
But educational.
But very educational. You know what else we found out this week?
What?
We're going to be giving muzzleloaders away this year.
Nice.
Yeah. October, November, December. They're going to support CVA. Great company going to support us. A new CEO, Dudley McGarity, has, taken his planned exit. I don't know if Dudley's still, you know, with the company at all, but he's no longer CEO. Nate Treadway is now the new CEO, and I've met Nate once or twice, but young guy, he's in his 40s, so that's all good. He's also in charge of Bergera Barrel Company, which makes Bergera barrels for the CVA muzzleloaders, as well as the Bergera rifles, which look pretty interesting to me. Hey, wow, that was quick. That was quick. Somebody on the phone here that we also talked to this week. We had a new state record dolphin. They're calling it dolphin fish. They don't want to confuse people with calling a dolphin, which has always been called a dolphin, confuse them with flipper, you know. They don't want that to happen, so they call them dolphin fish and mahi-mahi so people don't get confused. But here on the line is with us is Mayor Kim Lawson from down in Crisfield, Maryland. How you doing, Mayor?
I'm fine, Alan. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. So we talked the other day, and it looks like your mahi-mahi record, they didn't call mahi-mahi when you set the record, did they?
No, when I said it, it was referred to in a restaurant as mahi-mahi, but everybody on the vessel called it a dolphin.
A dolphin, course, yeah.
You know, right away everybody thinks you just caught flipper, and they look at you with all these jaded looks, you know.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. So how big was your fish, Kim, 20-some years ago?
34 years ago, 1985.
Okay.
It was, 67 and a half inches long and 67 and a half pounds.
Wow.
And,
well, that's a pretty easy way to remember it.
Yeah, it is. It's, was really easy, and of course it stuck in my mind because it was my first deep sea fishing trip ever.
And you caught a state record.
And I caught a state record. And, you know, when you do that, you can basically hang the hooks up. You don't have to buy another charter boat. You just, you're happy as a little clam.
Is that what happened to you? You could just quit fishing after that? You're all done?
I was never a fisherman.
Really?
I tell the story. I was asked if I was interested in going as a replacement with the other five fellows that we went out of on the vessel, the Pursuer, back in the 1985 period, Captain Albert Simpson and First Mate Frank Teaser. And I had a grocery store in town, and one of the guys came in and he said they'd had somebody drop out and they were desperately looking for somebody to fill the sixth slot. And I said, shoot, I'll go. I had some disposable income at the time.
Sure.
And so... little did I know how disposable my income was going to have to be when all was said and done.
Yeah, feel you. No question.
The one of the other parts about it, and I realized that just in the last month of what has happened to this record, and I'm very happy about it. I got so many phone calls because I didn't necessarily keep track of it. I'd look it up once every 2 or 3 years.
And sure.
If my name was still there, I was like, pretty neat. But we got 23 pounds of filet out of it. We had a gentleman in Chrisfield at the time had one of the greatest restaurants on the Chesapeake Bay. Mr. Jim Dodson owned the Captain's Galley here in Chrisfield, but mm-hmm. he also owned a Captain's Galley, too, in West Ocean City.
Uh-huh.
And I called him up and asked him what I ought to do, and he said, bring it on over. So that afternoon, fresh from the Atlantic at 7 o'clock, the six of us are sitting around this great table at Captain's Galley 2 at that time and really dining on some absolutely phenomenal fish. It was great.
Mahi, mahi. Have you ever considered having a reproduction taxidermy mount done?
I don't know if you know the story, and I hope it's
I don't.
Just, $1,300 later,
I guess you did.
I spent with a company out of Florida who, when they sent me back the mount, we had a great television personality here on the Eastern Shore that was from Chrisfield at the time.
Scorchy Taws.
And when Scorchy heard, because he laughed for about 4 weeks knowing that I'd caught this fish, because he also had known my father, who went deep sea fishing 23 times in his life, looking for that elusive marlin that he never even hooked.
Right.
And the only thing we had hanging on the wall in our house was an 18-pound tuna. That was the most he'd ever caught. So
okay.
Scorchy knew that story. And Scorchy came around, and when we opened it up, when the mounted fish came back from Florida, it wasn't 67.5 inches long. It was 57.5 inches long. And when Scorchy right away pulls out the tape, you know, to take a look at it, and I'm looking at it, he says, that's not what you said the record was. I said, well, what I said is what the record is. He says, well, they've not mounted a right size for you. I never talked to Pfluger. We sent it back. I eventually got the right fish, 67.5 inch, plaster casting.
Yeah.
But, I think they mounted it the second time. I don't think they originally, because of the size of the fish, I don't think they had a casting already done.
Probably not.
And so they probably sent me the biggest one they had in stock, and hoping that would work, but it didn't.
It didn't, no.
and so when I sent the fish back, they recasted, and they sent me back the right one. But I'm almost positive what happened, because this is really a fish story that goes all wrong after this, is they mounted, they cast a new fish, and I think they painted the plaster cast when it was wet.
Okay.
And within 6 months, every bit of the paint had blistered off of it and fallen off. And I'm sitting there looking at the plaster cast. And I just, you know, the story was better than I had a restaurant contact me in Ocean City that used up until this month wanted to have the fish hanging in its restaurant with
right.
all the stuff. But I'm sure that goes by the sideboard now to some extent. The person that I really like to make comment about, Alan, is, as you may have told your listeners, the record has been broken by a gentleman from Cambridge.
Right.
Who caught a 72.5 pound.
Jeff Wright was his name. Yes.
It's Mr. Wright. Thank you. I didn't know that.
Yep.
And then just reached, and he snapped. He didn't just eat by my record. I, you know, oftentimes when you hear NASCAR races and somebody wins by 0.02 of a second,
right,
like, that's not exactly much fun to be in that second place car. But this gentleman smashed my record. He broke it by 5 pounds.
He did.
67.5 and 72.5. And I was just really excited that that was the margin because, you know, it's he needs to have, enjoy the bragging rights. The trouble is, within 3 weeks, his record gets broken. He'll not even appear in a record book.
Nope. Christy Frazier was participating in the Poor Girls Fishing Tournament on August 16th, and her fish was 74.5 pounds, a monstrous mahi-mahi dolphin fish. Absolutely phenomenal.
So. Everybody in this day and time, Alan, can look up on the internet. So
sure.
I invite people to go up and look up mahi-mahi and get the Wikipedia. The interesting thing about the fish that I certainly didn't know before I caught what I caught is they live to the ripe old age of 4 years, maximum of 5.
Really?
And so any of us that caught fish at our size, we were at the end of the life cycle for these fish.
Sure.
But they are also, according to Wikipedia and several environmental organizations, are a very, very prolific regeneration fish. They lay between 250,000 eggs.
Wow.
At least 3 or 4 times a year. And they are not in any way in a protected species, right? They look like, as long as we can keep all the plastic out of the ocean, that they might continue to manifestly produce. They are along all of the North and South American Atlantic coast. They're in the Mediterranean. They're in Tahiti and Hawaii. So they're a worldwide temperate water fish. They actually like 83-degree water. So they're a pretty special fish. And the other sidebar is the mahi-mahi, who's this gorgeous blue and gold fish. You can tell the difference in the sexes when they're swimming. The bull dolphin, which is the male, has a very blunt head.
Yes.
And the forehead sits high above the eyes. And the female, and you may have already told your listeners this, the female has a sloped head. So when they're swimming in the sea, you can actually see the difference in the sexes, which I thought was really pretty special when you looked at that.
It is indeed. The current world record was taken in 1976 at 87 pounds, according to the IGFA. But there was one caught not that long ago. In, let's see, oh, I don't know, in 2015, after a 20-minute fight that weighed 102 pounds on a hand scale. But they had no idea it was world record, so they filleted it, and it's gone.
Oh, my goodness.
How about that deal?
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah. I can tell. The other sidebar is, you know, all of your listeners that are great fishermen and enjoy, they only dream of what it must be to catch an 800-pound blue marlin or something like that, and the fight that must be, and all that. And when you sit here on the radio on your wonderful morning show on WCBM Radio, the reality is when somebody's listening to a guy talking about catching a 67.5 pound, they go, well, whoop-de-doo, you know. It did take me 25 minutes to land him. And
sure.
The name mahi-mahi comes from Hawaiian, and it means fighting fish. And
yep.
They put their side body against you the whole time you're fighting them. They are really some. Anybody that's ever hooked a bluefish at the Chesapeake Bay and realized how hard they fight for the size that they are. I can only imagine how much fun it was to fight this fish.
Exactly.
And it was a lot of fun. And it was, we caught one other fish that day that was deep sea trolling, and that was a skippy. And we had filled our box in the morning at a lobster pot by casting down into a school of mahi-mahi that they love floating plastic lids. They love flotsam. They love brown grasses that are floating. They seem to school and find what they need to eat. They are carnivorous.
Yes.
But they do also eat photoplankton. So,
really?
You know, they are survivors. And we had caught about 15 between 7 and 12-pound fish that morning to guarantee us that we'd have fish to go home with.
Sure.
But, I was the last of the men in the fighting chair with five mullet-rigged leaders off of the stern, and we all took our turns in that, and I was the very last one to sit down in the chair, and the only reason I got in the chair for my hour turn was the guy before me what you would call hyperactive. He couldn't stand in the fighting chair. He got out at 22 minutes of his hour, said, "I'll come back later." I sat down, and 18 minutes into my hour is when we hooked the only major
fish of the day. Wow. Yeah. And that was your day and your time. No question.
It definitely was.
Fantastic story. Tell us a little bit about Chrisfield.
I'm sitting at the city dock this morning talking on the phone. The sun, of course, hadn't come up in this beautiful waterfront community. But I had a real pleasure last night, Alan. And besides that, the Chesapeake Bay Maritime Museum's 1899 restored bug eye, the Edna Lockwood.
Yes.
Sailed from St. Michael's to Chrisfield last night and came in. And today, all day in Chrisfield, the crew of the Edna Lockwood at the city dock will be offering historic tours showing this nine-log vessel that was a classic 53-foot dual-masted bug-eye. It is the last sailing working oyster boat designated as a bug-eye on the Chesapeake Bay, and we're lucky enough to have it through the graces of the Chesapeake Bay Maritime.
They're good folks.
Yep.
They're good folks.
They are good folks, and they do great work, great work. And so today she'll be here at the dock with tours, but then she stays moored here from the 24th through the 29th. So people visiting any of this time this week should stop down at the city dock. Although they won't be giving tours after today, they could see this majestic vehicle in the harbor.
Wonderful.
And a little more, do you have time?
Sure, yeah. What's going on Labor Day weekend?
Starting Monday, the 72nd National Hard Crab Derby and Fair. Now, for you folks up there in the Pimlico racetrack era, you think you've got something going on for, for 72 years in Chrisfield on our majestic Crab Cake racing track that was officially named in the 70s. Crabs, Calodictus saptus, the Atlantic blue crab, will be racing in heats to vie for the National Hard Crab Derby Championship. The winner gets a majestic trophy, which back in its origin of the Crab Derby in 1948, carrying it through until the early 1960s, that majestic trophy was called the Baltimore Sun Papers Trophy. For 72 years, this has been going on, and it's a homecoming event that will have between over a 5-day period between 10 and 15,000 total visitors enjoying everything from street parades to crab cooking contests. We're in now since 1965. We're in the 55th year of the National Hard Crab Derby Crab Cooking Contest. I, with my little rotund tummy, have for the last 4 years been an official taster and judge, along with four three other cooking magazine and chefs In other words, I'm just skilled at being able to taste good crab meat.
Mm-hmm.
I've been one of the judges in this, and it's really a neat thing. This happens between 8:30 and 2 next Friday. Monday night is the Miss Crustacean Pageant. The originators of the Crab Derby years ago thought that the beauty pageant's queen probably didn't need to be called Miss Crab, so they changed it.
Probably not, no.
That worked very well. And so the elegant lady will be crowned Miss Crustacean. And then on Tuesday night, we have the Little Miss and Mr. Miss Crustacean, and that's always a treat. The auditorium is filled with grandparents and moms and dads watching eight young men and eight young ladies. This year we have a full complement of each. Should be fun. These little 5 and 6 year olds do talent and the whole nine yards, and it'll have you laying in the floor laughing. They're so precious.
That is fantastic.
Wednesday we start with the preliminaries for Chris Field Sings. We are still taking contestants for this, and Thursday night in the Crab Bowl, which is the bleachers where we have the crab bases and everything else, will be the finals of Chris Field Sings, and the winner will have an audition with the producers of The Voice for a possible appearance.
No kidding. That's fantastic.
Yep. Really, really a neat thing. So that goes on, and on Wednesday night, starts the carnival that it goes hand in hand in the beautiful Summers Cove Marina, where many of these festivities are held.
Right.
Then on Saturday morning, bright and early, around 7 o'clock, we'll have about 150 competitors in the 40th annual Mike Sterling 10K. And then there's all other things, walkers and all in that race, and that kicks off the Saturday activities. At 11:30, we have a street parade. At 12:30, we have the official Chesapeake Bay crab picking contest. We'll have 10 ladies who have made their livelihoods picking crabs from the Chesapeake Bay, competing for that prestigious trophy and cash award. And by the way, as a sidebar, the world champion in the 1970s is a lady that passed away a few years ago, and she was from Cambridge, and she worked for Ripon and Sons, and she won the crab picking contest 4 years in a row. That was all that she ever entered, but she holds the world record for having picked. Now listen to this. You folks that have ever picked a crab, this will give you an idea. She picked 79 ounces in 15 minutes. That's equivalent to almost 2 full bushels of crabs.
Yeah.
And divide 16 into 79, you find out it's just under 5 pounds of crab meat. And we also do a certification on the meat. It can't have any more than 10 parts per pound particulate. Or other words, shell. So, you know, the lady's not stuffing that can with shell. She's putting meat in that can. And she is one of the great champions that we have. And,
what is her name?
Her name was Betty Lou Middleton from Cambridge, Maryland.
Okay.
We have had 3 specific awesome ladies who have won a minimum of 8 of these contests since 1965. One of them, the very first, worked for Birds Incorporated in Crisville, the now no longer in activity. Her name was Miss Carpathia Miles. Later on, one of the greats, and she is still picking in her retirement. She had a job, and she came back and said, this is the one way I enjoy. And that's Miss Joyce Fitchett. And then the one that is recognized today as the grandmom of all the world champion crab pickers, Miss Hazel, actually called Hurricane Hazel Crockford, and she's won 11 of these competitions over the years. So it's really it's a flash in the pan with 15 minutes of wild activity, but it has a lot of prestige
Sure.
and a lot of importance in the Chesapeake Bay's community of this event.
15 minutes of fame.
15 minutes of fame, exactly.
Yes, indeed.
At the same time, at 12:30, the Smith Island Skiff Race is happening in Chrisfield on Saturday of next week. And these are authentic motor-powered vessels that race, and there's vessels that come from Oxford and from the Upper Bay. There's five or six, everything named from the Slippery Eel to I Didn't Do It. Are these great little vessels that compete for the trophy of the Skiff Racing Championships. Then the granddaddy of them all, the 72nd National Hard Crab Derby, up to 400 crabs run in heats of 50, and the first three winning crabs of those heats stand aside. The rest of them go to the steaming pot, and those three can participate in the finals, where three from each of the 10 heats that runs these crabs will compete for the prestigious National Hard Crab Derby and Fair.
How do you get those little saddles buckled on them?
It's really hard, but I tell you what is really irritating to them is when the spurs are dug into their back swimming fins. You know, they really get up and go when that.
Yeah,
happens.
I bet they don't care much for the bridle either.
You got that right.
Mayor Kim, we have reached a point where we've got to take a break. You're welcome to stay with us if you'd like to finish the hour.
I'd love to finish the hour. I want to continue on the rest of the festivities because we're just leading up to the best.
All right. Let's do that. You hang on there, and we'll tell our folks about some of our sponsors, and then we'll take it back to you after that. So.
All right.
Well, let's talk about crabbing. Let's talk about one of our sponsors, which is Chesapeake Outdoors, which is Ken Island's crabbing headquarters. Now, Mayor Kim Lawson's on the air, who's a magnificent ambassador of the crab capital of the world, Chrisfield, Maryland. But if you don't happen to go there or you want to crab locally, Ken Island's crabbing headquarters is Chesapeake Outdoors. Crab pots, traps, crab nets, ready to go, trot lines, trot line components, crab bait, crab seasonings, crab steamers, and licenses and ramp permits as well. Chesapeake Outdoors has their own cool-looking T-shirt. They've got Costa sunglasses, Yeti coolers. They've got a complete selection of fishing tackle as well, bows, arrows, and archery equipment. We'll tell you more about that later. Firearms and hunting supplies. They carry the Grundens boots and rain gear and apparel if you want to dress like a waterman, and even the extra-tough fishing boots. And, yeah, they do have those Eastern Shore sneakers, those white boots for all your crabbing activities. They're located at Route 50 East, Exit 39B, Dominion Road. That's on Ken Island in Chester, Maryland. That's called Chesapeake Outdoors. Once again, exit 39B Dominion Road. And their phone number for anything you could need, want, or imagine for fishing or crabbing is 410-604-2500. First choice of Eastern Shore hunters and anglers and crabbers is Chesapeake Outdoors. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number one, carrying nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck, step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
So if you live in Baltimore and you want to get some good crabbing supplies, I'll tell you where to go. It's Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They're just off Beltway, exit number 9. I mean, they've got the Pasadena crab traps, the low profiles, the topless crab tracks or traps on at Clyde's are, you know, they're really stacked. The commercial crab pots, crab hotels, the cloth and wire crab rings, cloth and wire crab nets, baskets and lids and measures and tongs and gloves and mallets, crab bait like salted eel and chicken necks, aluminum steamers, 20 and 50 quart, and Clyde's custom crab seasoning. They also carry rigged trot lines, trot line parts and pieces, and if you want to make your own, they've got the tarred line and the Loctite as well. All that at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They're just off Beltway exit number 9. Why not give them a call today at 410-242-6108. Get some prices on your crabbing supplies because it's just going to start getting better from here on out. That 24-hour fishing hotline is also available at 410-247-3474. The way I like to remember it is 24/7, you know, like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 247-FISH. That's the hotline. Clyde Sports Shop. You'll enjoy it.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
He showed me how to cast a line, where the whitetail live and how to read their sign. He'd lean my gun up against a tree so he could hold a barbed wire fence for me. Yeah, I learned a lot from watching his ways, like how to hunt smart and how to be safe. He said, one of these days, son, you'll be grown. Remember what I taught you and pass it on. Pass it on in the name of conservation. Pass it on to another generation.
We've got Mayor Kim Lawson on the phone from Crisfield, Maryland, the crab capital of not just Maryland, of not just the county, but the entire world, the blue crab capital of the world. Mayor Kim, welcome back.
Hi, Alan. Very interesting. I'm sitting here at the city dock this morning. The sun hadn't come up, and I'm watching three work boats load up crab pots, getting ready to go out to the crabbing grounds. Pretty interesting, yeah. Observation while you're talking about all of those outdoor supporters that you were just mentioning.
I appreciate that, and I appreciate your kind words about Maryland Loves Crabs magazine. You know, we've worked with, I think from the beginning, we've worked with Crisfield Chamber of Commerce and Tourism down there to promote the events in Maryland Loves Crabs. And you made a comment to me earlier this spring that you tell the visitors, you hand them a Maryland Loves Crabs magazine, and you tell the visitors that it's the definitive guide for crabbing in Maryland. And that made a real impression on me, and I thank you for that wonderful compliment.
We changed the Somerset County Tourism with their local office in Crisfield. Because of who we are and where we are, they have a sub-office in Crisfield.
Right.
And I've been working there for 4 years, and when people come to town, there are about 5 different specific reasons they've come to town, and one of them is being able to access the rivers, the bays, the sounds around Crisfield for that lovely morsel called Kalanick the Sapta Sound.
Yep.
The most definitive magazine that I have, we probably hand out, well, Alan, you know how many you show.
Oh, yeah.
And when I say, folks, you've got to take that, and actually we have a copy of every of the first 7 Maryland Loves Crabs, because articles that are in there talking about catch and regulations, about what winter crab surveys have done, are just so informative to the public, as informative as any DNR magazine to help people comply with the laws. But
oh, yeah.
More than that, no matter where they are in Maryland, when they pick this up, if they're in Hagerstown, they can find a place locally where they get very wonderful Chesapeake Bay steamed or prepared products.
Yep.
Or fresh product.
That's right.
And you can put that in your car. You can take it to your rental property and put it on the counter, and people can just utilize it. It is the most wonderful magazine. I've had more compliments on it over the years because it focuses in on what it says. Maryland loves crabs.
Exactly.
And Marylanders identify themselves with Chesapeake Bay. We call ourselves Eastern Shoreman or Western Shoreman, and somebody in Nevada goes, Eastern Shore, Western Shore, what? And it's like they're supposed to know. And anything that comes from that bay is a part of how all 6.2 million Marylanders feel about where they live. They're so prideful of the bay.
That's correct.
This magazine is, that's all it's about, is the pride of Maryland Loves Crabs, talking about the retailers, the wholesalers, the suppliers, the aquaculture people, all of the extraneous people who are involved in this, and you just do a wonderful job with this particular magazine, Alan, and we all really, really love it.
Well, thank you so much, Kim. It's nice to hear those kind words from you, and of course, right back at you as an ambassador for the town of Crisfield, Maryland. And we just thank you so much for calling in today. But we were in the middle of a conversation about this upcoming weekend, and I think we stopped at the hard crab races, the hard crab derby. So, fill us in a little more on the rest of the weekend.
Oh, it just gets better and better as we move towards the climax. So the Hard Crab Derby has been going on for 72 years, and as Alan, I'm sure you know, the Maryland governor from 1958 to 1966 was J. Miller Taws, who was a native of Crisfield, and his exemplary service to the state of Maryland is really capitalized by this next statement. Governor J. Miller Taws, who was the governor of the Maryland, and also before that was our state comptroller, and later on would be the state treasurer, is the only executive of the state of Maryland who has ever held all three seats, comptroller, treasurer, and governor, on the Board of Public Works.
Amazing.
For those of you folks out there who don't know what the Board of Public Works, the General Assembly may pass all of the financing for Board of Education or for Inner Harbor relief or any of that, but the governor and the other two seats, comptroller and treasurer, make the determination on which bids are accepted.
That's right.
Which things move forward. These guys meeting every Thursday are the real runners of our state, and Governor Taws is the only executive who ever sat in all three of those seats at one time or another. And he was from Crisfield, and he was a great ambassador for Crisfield. He, in his early life, was in the baking business. He also owned a seafood packing house. He was a local hero, and he was a gentleman. And in this day and time, being able to say that any politician was a gentleman is really a compliment.
That's almost an oxymoron.
That is true. And anyway, he was approached along around the 10th or 15th. What do you think, Governor, about us having an annual Governor's Cup race where we have a crab entered racing every state in the union? And you can, through your great offices, send out letters, and we do this. And then, hence, under the auspices of then active and then later on would be ex-governor or retired governor, J. Miller Taws, we started the annual Governor's Cup race. Now, today we have 50 crabs. If they're in Nebraska and they can't find a river with a crab in it.
Really?
And it has to be an Atlantic blue crab because we learned that lesson along the way.
Not a lot of those in Ohio.
And I tell you what, when you get a hold of an Alaskan king crab, he tends to dominate a racetrack.
He'll eat the competition, no question.
Well, anyway, in the early days, with the governor being in attendance and being a native son, we played this up to the nth degree. As a matter of fact, there was one year in the mid-70s when today with the Internet, you couldn't do this, but a local member of the JCs and former mayor and House of Delegates member Charles McClenahan, along with some of his cohorts, conceived of the idea to get out to a friend they had that worked for the United Press International that a particular state's crab had been kidnapped and was being held hostage. Well, in those days, that went all over the country, and that was good for phenomenal presentations on news media all over the country. Of course, that would always be paper and radio and and the like. But we saw tremendous spikes in attendance at Crab Derby for years after that. What, early on in the Governor's Cup race, now you'll love this, Alan, some states really got into this. Virginia named their crab for four successive years Virginia Creeper. And the second year, they flew their crab in a cooler that was padded by Virginia State Police helicopter, and he was escorted to the crab trap, crab cake track by Virginia State Troopers. Try to get away with doing that anymore.
Oh, my gosh.
In America.
That's amazing.
And you know, that, those kinds of things just really make something. So every year we name 50 crabs, almost all of them now local that come from the area.
Sure.
Such as the one of a presidential candidate from, I believe, Colorado, Governor Hickenlooper, who just dropped out of...
yes, he did.
He dropped out of the presidential campaign. The Colorado crab a few years ago was named Hickenlooper, and so, you know, everybody had a fun time with that, and so we named these crabs with particular things that are important to their states or otherwise, and we all have a good time with that. And that's the Governor's Cup race. All of those crabs, because the crab cake track has 50 troughs from which the crabs start their descent down a 16-foot plank.
Right.
All of those crabs participate in one race, and the winner of that is the Governor's Cup winner.
That's amazing.
That takes place in the afternoon. Then that night, Saturday night, in the Crab Bowl, we have a phenomenal band from Baltimore who played here last year. I don't think there's probably many of your folks on your listening waves that haven't heard of them, and it's the Kelly Bell Band from Baltimore. And that will be performing from 8 to 10:30 in the Crab Bowl, and that will wind down to Saturday activities, of which I left out a couple of things that are very important, and that is we have the very, very long-standing street parade, which will take place at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning. And it's important that I mention this because this year, for more than 55 years, our longest commuting fire company that has come and brought their antique pumper has been from Hagerstown. And Hagerstown's fire company will appear as our grand marshals in our parade this year. The parade chairman thought that the least we could do for these great folks that ride across the Bay Bridge on Labor Day weekend and come to Crisfield to simply participate in our Crab Derby Parade. It says a lot about Hagerstown's fire department and the kind of people they have out there.
Good folks, no question.
No doubt about it.
So, Mayor, we are approaching another break here. So, and we'll be getting out of here in about 7 or 8 minutes, but we need about a 2-minute break. So, I'm going to ask you to, if you don't mind, give us the nickel tour through the rest of the weekend, and invite the folks down, and then we'll take a break and come back, and you and I can say, see you soon.
Okay. The nickel tour, you want me to continue right now, Al?
Just Sunday and Monday, and then we'll go right to a break, and we'll have a minute to just say see you later at the end, okay?
Yep.
All right.
All righty.
No, go right ahead.
The Sunday big event, open-air religious services in the morning on the city dock, and they're always fantastic. But then at 12 o'clock, the granddaddy of them all, the Crisfield Boat Docking Contest. This was where it all started with workmen from Tangier, Smith Island, and Crisfield years ago. It'll be attended by nearly 3,000 people in very, very formal setting, bleachers. Tickets $15 and $50 for the Captain Dex. Captain Dex tickets are online and talks about all the specialty part of which you'll be treated if you're in that.
Wow.
Those tickets are almost sold out. This is a dynamic event, and we really, really have a great competition. We conclude the Labor Day weekend events on Sunday night at 9 o'clock with the National Hardcraft Derby fireworks display over Crisfield.
Wow.
And one of the things that is necessary to say in this little county we have, the reason we conduct nothing on Labor Day, because the fantastic event goes on in Deal Island, Maryland, only 12 miles as the crow flies away from us, and that is the annual skipjack races in
yep.
Deal Island, not to be at least mentioned. So that concludes a wonderful week in Somerset County, and it's great. Alan, I don't know if you want me to stick with you or...
Yeah, just hang in there a little bit, Mayor, and we'll talk in just a minute. We've got to tell the folks about a couple of our sponsors again, and one of those being Chesapeake Outdoors. And we're going to switch from crab supplies to archery, since the archer season's coming up right around the corner. And the folks at Chesapeake Outdoors carry the Matthews brand of bows and the new Vertex, which is a wonderful adjustable bow. You might want to check that out. They also have the Raven crossbows, the R26 and the R29, the Mission crossbows, the Sub-1 XR. We were talking the other day to one of our guests. He said, yeah, I've got one of those Sub-1s. It's great. Clearance sale blowout on all Hoyt compound bows. And, of course, they carry a number of different crossbows from 10-point Excalibur Carbon Express Barnett with custom arrows, bow tuning accessories. See our buddy Pete down there. He's working his little fingers to the bone, getting everybody ready for the season. Camouflage apparel for all seasons, 20% off the fishing wear from the company called Huck, H-U-K, 20% off all long sleeve, short sleeve, and shorts from Huck. They also carry dove gear, ammo, decoys, buckets, and chairs for the upcoming dove season, muzzleloaders from Thompson Center and CVA, Costa sunglasses, Yeti coolers, a full selection of waterfowl calls. They are, as Chesapeake Outdoors, the first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. Located Route 50 East, right across the Bay Bridge, exit 39B, Dominion Road on Ken Island, right there in Chester, Maryland. 410-604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors.
Boy, I like this weekend forecast. Enjoying life behind a little summertime cold front, which is all the way down in the Carolinas today. And looks like the lower humidity, the north winds are in, and the thunderstorm, the high humidity, the 90s are out for a while. 80 degrees our high this afternoon, 62 our low tonight. Partly cloudy Sunday, high of 80, mostly cloudy Monday, how about a high of 78 degrees? I'm meteorologist Scott Laurie, more from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras?
How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery. Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a battery warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the battery warehouse near you. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Well, I was born and raised on the Eastern Shore, in the slower lower half where there's not much more than a whole lot of water and a small strip of land. Little towns like Prince's Anne. Cannon factories in the tomato fields. Crab pots stacked up around Chris Field. We know the harbor where the skipjack sails. That's right. I'm from Somerset County.
Mayor Kim, Somerset County, Bird Dog Wheeler, and the Road King. So you got to listen to the whole song, that's for sure.
It's an awesome piece. I love it.
Say that again?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, listen, we want to invite all the folks to Chris Field this week for the festivities and in particular Labor Day weekend. There's the music. I just want to thank you for calling in, Mayor Kim Lawson, and folks can find you at the Visitor Center, and I'm sure you'll be roaming around all the activities this week and at the crab capital of the world, not just Maryland, and that's Chris Field, Maryland in Somerset County.
Alan, thank you so much for giving me time on the radio this morning to talk about personal exploits and then our wonderful community of Chris Field and our county of Somerset. Thank you so much.
Thank you again, Mayor Kim, and we hope to join you again sometime as a guest, and we thoroughly enjoyed it. I hope our listeners did, too. So now it's time for me to say get out, stay out, and stay safe.